Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Angela Cote, and today's episode is brought to you by Franchise Payments Network, Citrin Cooperman, and Answer Connect. Today, human contact is more important than ever. Make sure a live, professional person answers the phone every time. Answer Connect makes this happen for franchises every day with a team of professional customer service experts ready to impress your callers around the clock. Answer Connect works with many different franchises and small businesses who need 24/7, 365 phone coverage, lead intake, appointments scheduled, or basic messages. They integrate with many of today's CRMs, which is just one more thing off your plate and one more opportunity for you to work on your business. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234 or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Okay, we are back on Social Geek Radio with our longtime contributor and friend, Angela Cote. Angela, how are you? It's been a while since you've been on Social Geek.
I must have said something wrong.
Well, you know, you went off and started your own podcast, and I guess we're just too small here for you to come back and visit once in a while. So,
time just kept ticking on by, but I am excited to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Today, we're going to talk about some leadership items and some other things that we wanted to take a deep dive in here. But before we get to that, tell us about some of the things you're up to. You've got a great new podcast. You've grown this company during the time of a pandemic. I'm not really sure how that goes. So tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think I'd attribute the growth. A lot of the growth of the company has been because of the actions that I took without even realizing what the heck I was doing when the pandemic hit, which was the roundtables that I started. You know, it was March 16th when I hosted a roundtable for franchisors, intended to just, hey, come together, talk about like vent about your challenges and like, what are you doing to help your franchisees? You know, it was such a shock for all of us. And I don't know, I just didn't know what else. I just did it, you know? So started these roundtables, and every week I would keep going. I'm like, should we keep going? Should we meet next week? And the next thing you know, it became an every week thing for franchisors. And we moved from crisis mode conversation of, you know, PPP and PPE and all that stuff hey, are you doing friend of marketing? Like, people weren't sure if they should talk about these things, and then they would share with each other. And I'm just facilitating. I'm not trying to be the expert, but boy, oh boy, when you facilitate roundtables weekly, you do actually learn a lot, which is awesome. So that's really been an amazing opportunity to build our network. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't intentional. It's not like I had a business plan. Actually, I will say, I always thought it would be a good idea, but everyone always says, you know, one thing the pandemic did is it kickstarted a lot of things. And I think because people needed it, so it was, you know, meant to be maybe, but we have now grown from, so a team of, well, really one when I relaunched this, or restarted this business in November of 2019, to now a team of seven passionate people that are on the same mission. And we run roundtables for different areas of franchising now. Well, we've got an emerging franchisor roundtable, but we've also just launched the franchise business coach roundtables. And then we've got one for people that are doing the marketing within a franchise system. So, like, you know, they're wearing the hat of how do I spend the brand fund and support franchisees and find franchisees. So the roundtables is, I think, has a lot to do with the growth. And then, I mean, the services that we offer are things like advising and work to go in and work with business coaches and things like that. But the roundtables, I think, is really a big part of why there's been that growth.
Yeah, it feels like the roundtables and maybe some other types of networking and content that people have found over the past year and a half have taken the place of the IFA conventions and the CFA conventions and all of the other franchise events that you and I would be going to once a month or once every couple of months. And a lot of those organizations have done a really good job of doing virtual events and virtual conventions and things like that. But for some reason, these smaller groups, and I don't know if you break them out by region or if it's, you know, everybody in North America together, it feels like these smaller groups, maybe it's broken up by topic, have been a little bit more valuable than let's just get 1,000 people on a big Zoom call or a virtual convention and no one can really network and get to know each other. How big are the roundtables that you're doing currently? Is it like a dozen people or what's the size?
No, actually, well, today we had 30 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and there's some regulars for sure, but every roundtable, there's the regulars and then there's the people that come once every two or three times just because of their schedule. And then there's almost every time we run a roundtable, there's a new person. So, the way that we run it, and I think what makes it work so well and why people keep coming back is you hit on like the topics. So people know that, you know, we're going to work together around a certain topic. And then I've just been really intentional about creating collaboration and, you know, peer-to-peer learning. What everybody said to me early on, why they wanted to keep coming back, and I think to this day, is we're just done with webinars, like sitting and watching, you know, like a talking head
panels. I think the one thing that that this pandemic has definitely killed is the talking head panel. I will never attend one of those again, either in person or online. I don't care. I want to engage with people who are sitting there next to me.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, for example, with our emerging franchise or roundtable, it's almost hard for me sometimes to hold back because I want to give them all the answers, but it's better if they hear it from each other. And what I'm really trying to create is this situation where people are comfortable, you know, asking a question that they might feel silly. And I always tell them at the beginning, like, we have some rules, right? When we get on, I say cameras on, you know, we're going to have cameras on. The two main rules, cameras on. And you, before you leave, I need to see what your key takeaway is. And we will not let you back in if you don't, which is kind of,
wow.
Wow. Yeah, we're kind of joking, but we're just trying to really get the key.
You're busting some chops over there. I like it. Because too many people, I think, have been on some of these webinars and virtual events where, you know, I'm just going to veg out here. I'm going to turn my camera off, check my email, work on something else. And I think that doesn't do them any good. And it certainly doesn't do the rest of the group any good.
Yeah. Well, it's what I think is, yeah, like you say, it's the rest of the group. It's if you've got 5 people, you know, on camera and the other 20 are not, it's just awkward and it's not what it's all about. And I think that's why people that tried this when the pandemic first hit and when it wasn't successful, because they probably didn't foster that kind of environment. And another thing I do is when we start, you know, I have learned to prepare questions in advance for the group. It's almost like one big panel of people. If people aren't automatically just sort of starting to like flow the conversation, I will ask a question that I know people want to know, and then it gets it going. Uh-huh. So it's like when I, for a little while there, I was bringing in somebody to present a topic or a thought leader. I had Mary Thompson, love her, of course. Dan Monahan, I had Peter Holt come in. I had, you know, other franchisors. But I think we may have talked about this before, but it puts people into listen mode. And that's when the cameras go off. And that's when
a true round table is everyone has an equal place at the table. There isn't a presenter and an audience, right? It's truly engaging.
Yeah. And that's the magic of roundtables. And you don't go, when you are at an IFA or CFA or any event roundtable, if someone's sitting there on their phone the whole time looking down, you're not going to engage with, like, it's not good etiquette. So we don't allow that.
So what we wanted to talk about today is leadership. And I know you write a lot about this. You do podcasts and videos and presentations about leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some leadership happening there, just creating these roundtables and providing a place or a field for these people to get together and actually have these conversations. I've definitely seen that with you over the past year or so. Where should we start when it comes to leadership, maybe today versus a couple of years ago? How has it changed?
Yeah, well, I think, I'll just sort of go a little bit back. When you and I were talking about this, and I mentioned this leadership, like where, for me, kind of where it comes from is the CFA had an event recently for women in franchising on female leadership. Actually, it was female leadership during uncertain times. And they asked me to be the closing keynote. And I honestly was like, oh, me? Like, oh, okay. I know how to do leadership in uncertain times. What do I know about that?
Well, they apparently think you do. So
right, apparently. And so I literally had to, I was like, yes, I'd love to do that. I know I'll figure it out. But I was like reflecting on, well, okay, why do they see me as a leader? And because of the roundtables, like you said earlier, people have been reaching out to me and saying, wow, you're really making a difference in franchising. And here I'm saying this not to toot my horn at all, actually the opposite. What I'm trying to do for people is help people understand that, like, my belief of what a leader is somebody who takes action and by their actions influences others to take, you know, good actions as well. You know, my philosophy has always been, one of my core values and company core value that we all subscribe to, is action equals growth. You know, paralysis, analysis leads to paralysis.
Yeah.
You know, and if I had overthought that those first couple of roundtables or been afraid to put myself out there, we wouldn't be sitting here with seven people on the team to this day and all that. So I think it kind of, to answer the question about leadership then to now, I think we used to see leaders as people that had a title and were authoritative and had, you know, big salaries or roles or whatever, they were in charge. And I think really true leadership is somebody who, it's the actions they take. And I can't help to always bring up my dad and think about, you know, how did he grow a company from his initial vision from one unit to almost 500. And a lot of the traits that he embodied in that time were really more modern leadership, but just nobody really clued into that back then. You know, he didn't do it by being authoritative and firm and saying, you know, I'm the boss. It was by listening to people and by doing things that modern leaders do, you know, by being action oriented and not being afraid to take action when it's difficult, when it's scary and things like that. So those are some things that kind of I reflected on, just, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, okay, what do I know? Well, this is what I think. It's not about the title. It's about the action that you take.
Back in a moment after this word from Citrin Cooperman. Citrin Cooperman is proud to be home of one of the leading franchise accounting, financial statement audit, tax preparation, and business consulting practices in the country. With over 40 years of franchise experience, Citrin Cooperman provides a full range of accounting and franchise consulting services to a vast number of franchise concepts. Working with the owners, operators, controllers, and CFOs of a wide range of franchisors and multi-unit franchisees to help them build value and sound financial reporting. The Citrin Cooperman franchise practice is comprised of experienced CPAs and CFE accredited professionals providing franchisors and multi-unit franchisees the guidance and insight they need to minimize uncertainty and meet required compliance deadlines. For more information, please contact Aaron Chytovsky and Michael Iannuzzi at citrincooperman.com/industries/franchising. You mentioned uncertainty. How hard is it to lead a group, whether they are, you know, part of your core team or it's people who are part of your roundtables, or maybe it's some of your clients who you're advising right now? How hard is it when none of us really know what's going to happen with you know, the pandemic and lockdowns and legislation against franchising and all of the things that we're all very uncertain about. How do you kind of get past that to guide people along their way?
Yeah, I have a few things I would say on that. One is to, I'm going to go there, vulnerability and authenticity. I know it's okay. Like some people just overuse these words and don't understand them. And I think especially sort of the, you know, the sort of ego thinks, oh, well, vulnerability, that means like showing weakness. You know, or like admitting that, you know, you're like freaking out and letting your whole team know that. And that is not what vulnerability means. I believe it's really about admitting you don't know all the answers. And then, but as a good leader, showing the confidence that you're showing that you are confident that you will figure it out and that, you know, we're going to do this together. It's okay. We're in this together. So starting with being comfortable showing some vulnerability and being authentic, that's going to build trust in the people that are with you, that are that are in your care. I have a couple other points. I don't know if you wanted to, if any
please,
of that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I kind of alluded to this already, but also just collaborating. Like we all saw this when, you know, pandemic first hit, and to this day, franchisors, you know, they, a lot of them were like, I don't know why we didn't do this sooner. We should have been collaborating on Zoom or whatever, you know, all the time anyway, just to work through challenges. And now we're doing it and it's really helping people stay more calm so they don't feel so alone. But in that collaboration, I think empowering people to work together to make a plan, like instead of telling people the plan, hey, let's brainstorm some solutions to this, say, current problem of finding employees. Let's come together and brainstorm and see if we can, you know, come up with a plan. And I've always believed that, you know, franchisors have a lot of great suggestions and things for their franchisees, but they're like frustrated because the franchisees won't implement, pandemic or not. And I say, well, that's only half the battle is knowing the things. It's creating the buy-in. And I think the secret to creating the buy-in is this piece of collaborating and letting them come up with, how am I going to get through this? Like empowering them and collaborating and letting them figure it out to some extent is, it just makes you feel more in control.
Yeah. Giving them some ownership, not only of the problem, but of the solution as well.
Totally. Like if, you know, if they have, okay, this is what I can do. Another thing within that is, I think it's really important to seek input. And this really goes, it's leadership, whether or not it's uncertain times, definitely helpful in uncertain times, but to say, what do you need from me as a leader? Like, how can I best provide value to you? I think, you know, we automatically assume it's going to be helpful if we make them get on a call or do this or that. And maybe what they needed was something totally different. It's like if, you know, someone always buys you flowers and you're like, I don't even really like flowers, which is kind of weird, but you know, like that's not helping you.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like, I don't see a lot of value in flowers every day. I'd really rather have a pizza, but that's,
yeah. That's you, pizza and wine, right? Yeah. So I think seeking that input, those are a few things. And I guess just ultimately, I really believe that when we take care of the people issues, like we slow down and take the time to talk with people's, collaborate, like I said, seek their input, show a little bit of vulnerability. When we do these things, the business issues often take care of themselves, to, you know, or just become a lot easier to solve.
Got it. You talk a lot about mindset when you're talking about leadership and when you're talking about your groups and moving your business forward and growing your clients' businesses. Where do you start with getting the mindset that you have? Because everybody who knows you in franchising knows that you are probably the most positive, optimistic person that anybody's ever going to meet in this industry. How do you get that mindset going?
I'm just laughing because that sounds funny, but thank you. I appreciate it. I'll take that as a compliment, I think.
Yes, it is a compliment. Absolutely. I struggle to find a time when you were preaching doom and gloom. I don't think I've ever heard that out of you. So how do you get past the doom and gloom when we're surrounded by doom and gloom?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first part of I guess it's an awareness thing. And I think I started learning about mindset when I had a business coach prior to this restart of my business. So a few years ago, I just started to learn about what you think comes true. Right. And so if you believe that you can do it, you will do it. You'll make it work. And I'm simplifying a lot here, but you know, and it really matters to have that mindset. So then I started tuning into that, just picking it up other places. You know, I listen every day. I listen to, while I'm getting ready for my day, I listen to like YouTube videos about things like leadership and mindset. And I'll pick up little nuggets here and there. And I just can't emphasize how much I believe that when, you know, that it is all about mindset. Like, oh, I think 90% of our success is dependent on having the right mindset. Mm-hmm. So how do you get that mindset? Well, for me, I actually have some very granular things I do. Like this is not probably a new concept for most people, but I literally do a gratitude journal every day. So I write out three things that I'm grateful for every day. And that could be anything from like a nice meal I had the day before that was really delicious, to spending some time with my kid, to a win I feel like I had with a round table, or to, oh, this person showed up at my round table. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I could put that in there, just something that makes me smile. So, or the sunshine we had, you know, or whatever. So it is scientifically proven that you can't be both happy and appreciative at the same time as being like discouraged. So that's a mindset setup thing I do at the beginning of the day. Within that, there's a couple other things I do early in the day, to ground myself, like breathing exercises and actual exercising, working out and getting the heart rate going. But throughout the day, I think it's just really important that we catch it. So I actually have reminders on my phone to check my mindset.
Ah.
Yeah.
Using technology to check your own mindset. That's a great idea.
It's not like there's an app that I just hold to my head and then it tells me what it does is it makes me stop and think, am I still thinking the same way I did at the beginning of the day?
Yeah.
Because again, what you believe and what, you know, what you're thinking, you're going to attract. If you are thinking negatively about things, oh, my business isn't going to grow. Well, guess what? You're going to attract negativity, and you're not going to grow. And for me, I just really also having a vision of where you want to get to, you know, I also have reminders of that come up on my phone and I'm like, oh yeah, that's where I'm trying to go. That's exciting. That's fun. Instead of being discouraged, I'm not going to get there. So those are just some granular and some maybe theoretical ways that I do try to stay good with my mindset.
I love that. I'm going to ask you one last question about leadership before we go. Who are some leaders that you read, listen to, watch on YouTube videos, whatever it is? I know you're a big Simon Sinek fan. We both are. We've talked about that many times. But who are some other leaders that you're actively or regularly checking out?
One of my, the person I admire the most in that sphere or whatever realm is Marie Forleo. I am aspiring to be her.
That's a good aspiration.
Yeah. She's same age as me. And she is just, oh, like I just resonate so much with the things she says. She talks a lot about being unapologetically who she is and also not trying to be perfect and start before you're ready. She has a great book called Everything is Figureoutable. And I've adopted that as a core value in my company. A lot of people have that around me because they love the concept as well. So she's at the top of the list. You're right. Simon Sinek. Who else am I listening to? Somebody that gets me fired up these days that people won't probably recognize the name. Her name's Lisa Nichols. She's a motivational speaker, but just reminds you of your kind of, you know, your superpowers and what you got inside of you. That's all I'm thinking of right now. There's others that, but yeah, those are a couple of the ones that I'm right now listening to.
Right now. Okay. Well, we'll give a hat tip to all of those folks. Before we go, if people are interested in the roundtables or just learning about any of the other things that you're working on, podcast, AC Inc., as we like to call it, where can we send everybody?
Right. Well, I'd love to have them come to my website, our company website, which is angelacote.com, C-O-T-E.com. We've got a link on there for the roundtables that are a page on there for all the different roundtables. And if people want to check them out, they can just go and hit the link for the one they want to attend. And then we just have a process to kind of get you in on that. But I also, as you know, love LinkedIn. So I'm all over that. I think that's probably the best place to find the content that we put out. So whether that's, you know, videos or motivational quotes and thoughts and podcast release and all that, but that's also, the podcast is also on all the platforms, Apple, Spotify, you name it. But yeah, love to connect with people. It's my favorite thing.
It sounds like it is. So thank you so much for coming back and spending some time with us today. And I hope to see you on this side of the border sometime soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It almost feels like I'm there with you in person, but I'm really just sitting in my office in Victoria. But thank you very much. It was great to be here.
Before we go, a quick word from Franchise Payments Network. If you're looking for something buzzworthy to reward your customers with, check out Pollinate, an all-inclusive loyalty and gift card technology company focused in the franchise space. Powered by industry veteran Franchise Payments Network, Pollinate works with your team to create reward systems that engage your customers while boosting sales frequency and visibility. Through custom branded Pollinate apps featuring touchless payments, curbside pickup, and more, franchises have experienced a 17% ticket lift and 50% increase in customer visits. Create new revenue streams with Pollinate, where everybody will earn, redeem, enjoy, and repeat. For a glimpse of what's possible, check out the Pollinate dashboard at pollinate.com/marketing. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. This is the Social Geek Radio Network.